At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. It's a numbers game. It's guessing lines for week 11. I say good Monday morning, but the NFL finally got me. Took 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And Kelly, Friday, we said it on the show. We're like, I don't have a good feeling about this. Had Chicago up 14, Dallas up 14, and some days you're just not meant to win. How was your weekend, sir?
It was fair. We made a profit on Saturday. Not great. We made a profit yesterday. Again, not great. Talked to Michael Gaughan last night. He says, oh, that's not bad. That's okay. He goes, I'm surprised we won that much. I said, okay, well, if you're happy, I'm happy. You know, so that's the way it goes. We wound up with a decent day yesterday, but the Charger game could have flipped the whole thing around.
Could have flipped it around.
Yeah.
To the good for you.
Well, flipped it to the good.
Yeah, it did.
Could have flipped it to the bad. You know, with we were pretty close there, too, at the end.
We'll get to all that. I had an in-game first half bet on the Chargers yesterday, -3.5 when they were on the doorstep of the end zone to go up 14.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm a genius. They settle for a field goal. Yeah. Then the Niners score. So I'm faced with, oh, no, I got to have this final drive to get above 3 to get a field goal. And then Herbert gets hit in the head.
Yeah.
Greenlaw gets hit out. And Chase Daniel comes in. I'm like, oh, well, surely Brandon Staley's just going to, like, run the ball three plays. No, he's having, like,
straight passes.
Chase Daniel throw the ball around the yard. I'm like, please stop. So that finally got home. That was the only good thing that went my way.
But that was the Chargers missed a lot of golden opportunities.
They sure
did. Could have won that game easily.
We'll have to spend at least an hour on the Bills game. I'm kidding, but kind of. But we'll get to it all. The point of this show, for those who have not listened to Guessing Lines before, is a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same variety back in the day with Roxy Roxborough. I don't know the lines. I guess the lines, what they're going to be for the coming week. Chrissy tells us what he's actually going to post here at the South Point Hotel Casino from where we broadcast this show right after the show. There's no betting yet until we finish here. So let's get to it. And hopefully in that process, we extract value.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Guess it wise with Chrissy Andrews. That's the old Stardust font.
Oh, is that the Stardust font? I thought it was Roman's Chinese Theater.
It's that
LA.
Too. Always thinking back there, Kelly. Nice job.
It's all of them. All of the above.
Kelly, the people want to hear you. They want to hear your charming voice every morning. You haven't said
it. Hey, man, that's what I'm here for.
You good? Okay.
It was. You're right. It was a squirrely weekend. If the Cowboys got home, it would have been nice.
Oh.
I had a pretty good weekend, though.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Good for you.
I had a pretty good weekend.
What was your big winner?
Oh, man. Well, the Giants was big. And then the Kings Friday night. I had more money on the Kings Friday night than I did any NFL game.
Are we referring to Sacramento and not Los Angeles?
Sacramento Kings, okay. Yes, against the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right. Well done. I hear the Lakers are not good at basketball.
They are. They
are. That's what I'm being told in my ear right now. This just in. All right, let's go to Thursday. What do we got?
Thursday night, to start it off this week, we have Titans at Packers.
I guess that's an interesting game. The Titans have won for the sixth time in seven games. They did so against the Broncos yesterday. They played without five defensive starters, the Titans, including lineman Jeffrey Simmons, who was in the Pro Bowl last year, safety Amani Hooker, outside linebacker Bud Dupree. Then Christian Fulton, their cornerback, was scratched pregame with a hamstring. They lost three other defenders to injuries during the game. Still sacked Russell Wilson six times. Good God. With none of those guys. And by the way, Tennessee was trailing in total yards right before halftime. 208-53. They were down 10-0. No matter. Late first half drive made it 10-7. Then they went up 14-10 on a flea flicker. Tannehill to Nick Westbrook-Akine for 63 with 5:25 left in the third quarter. Tannehill finished 19 of 36. By the way, that 14-10 lead held the rest of the way. They won it 17-10. Tannehill finished 19 of 36 for 255, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Westbrook-Akine, 5 for 119, two touchdowns. The Titans only had 14 first downs, and they had 9 penalties for 60 yards. Still beat the Broncos.
And Derrick Henry did not, what do you have, 52 yards, yeah. Something like that?
Yeah, they keyed on him.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
You can understand why.
And then there's Green Bay. Green Bay snaps a five-game losing streak, much to the chagrin of those of us who had the Cowboys in the contest. Aaron Rodgers finished 14 of 20 for 224, three touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Aaron Jones, 24 for 138 and a touchdown. Christian Watson, 4 catches for 107, three touchdowns.
Does Rodgers have a wide receiver?
I don't know. Some highlights from there. Down 7-0. Rudy Ford picked off Dak on a third and goal for Dallas at the Green Bay 11. So Dallas was driving to make it a 2-touchdown game early. Dak threw a pick. How do we feel about Dak? 7:06 left in the second quarter. 3 plays after Dallas had strip-sacked Rodgers and recovered at the Green Bay 10 in a 7-7 game. Dallas had 4th-and-1 at the Dallas 41. 2:57 left in the second quarter. Prescott barely got it on second effort, but 3 plays later, he threw a second pick to Ford. 3 plays after that, Jones rushed in from 12 out, and the Packers led 14-7, which already was an upset. Should have been the Cowboys up at that point. 1:37 left in the half, though. Dallas went 66 yards and 8 plays to the house on a Prescott to Schultz 5-yard touchdown pass with 8 seconds left. And it was 14-14 at the half, and you're thinking, okay, Dallas is going to right this ship. 14-14 game, Dallas backed up 4th-and-3 from their own 12. We're talking third quarter now. Amari Rodgers muffs the Brian Anger punt. That's recovered by the Cowboys' Sean McKeon at the Green Bay 45. 4 plays later, Pollard in from 13, 21-14. And then where the game really turned. 28-14 Dallas. 195-0 in franchise history, up 14 in the fourth quarter. 195-0.
Well, they've only been around for, what, 65 years?
Yeah. Tom Landry.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson. Green Bay comes all the way back to tie, a 76-yard touchdown drive and an 89-yard touchdown drive. We're going to overtime. Cowboys win the toss. They have a 4th-and-3 at the Green Bay 35. Did you like that they went for it there?
I think they almost had no choice. The grass was very slippery. They had problems in the kicking game. I think he made the right decision. They didn't execute, but I think McCarthy made the right decision.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
And they were killing him a little bit on that. I don't know if they were killing him, but they were a little critical of him on the air.
I don't really think he had a choice. I think Chris put it well. I don't really know what you're – I kept running kind of through the other options. I'm like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to go for it.
Touchdown wins it. Keep matriculating. But you know what happens. 4th-and-3 of the Green Bay 35, incomplete passes. Dak got rid of it just before he went to the turf. 3 plays later, Rodgers, quick hitter on the RPO to Lazard, streaking downfield all the way to the 20. Then a Jones carry with a face mask tacked on, takes it to the Dallas 7. Rodgers kneels it in the middle of the field. Crosby, 28-yard field goal, bingo, bango. Green Bay down 14, wins it in overtime, and Dallas goes to 195-1. Went up 14 in the fourth. Tennessee at Green Bay. I was going to guess Green Bay minus 2.5, and then I figured if it was 2.5, people would just immediately bet it to 3. So I'll say 2.5, but I'm guessing it's 3.
It's pretty much 2.5 everywhere.
Oh, it is. Okay.
My numbers come to 1, Green Bay. I'm still not sold that, you know, all of a sudden all the ills of Green Bay have been cured.
Me neither.
I started thinking about this last night. You know who what Tennessee reminds me of? what's the coach? Vrabel.
Vrabel.
It reminds me of, remember when Jimmy Valvano, guys our age, they won the national championship. Were they the best team?
No.
Not even close. They just kept winning games, winning games, winning games by this much. Vrabel kind of reminds me of that. They just keep winning games. I mean, they were the number one seed last year.
Yeah.
Were they the best team? Not even close. They're playing great again. They're not playing great. They're winning a lot of games. What'd you say, six out of the last seven?
Six out of seven.
I mean, they just keep winning games. I don't know. I mean, I made Green Bay one. I'm going to open 2.5. I see some. There's like 2.5 with Juice popping up. And there's a 1-3 out there in a foreign location, you know. But I'll open 2.5. They'll probably lay it to me. But if I go in here needing Tennessee, I'm okay with it. But keep your eye on injuries, and that'll be a theme that I'll talk about a little bit later. But that's where there's a lot of steam against Tennessee
because they had all those injuries.
Because they had, and you know, there's a lot of steam against the Saints that worked out well. A lot of steam against the Chargers last night too because of all the injuries. So handicappers out there, keep your eyes on the injuries.
It's everything, and the Niners were getting guys back too.
At the same time. I mean, there's a lot pointing towards the Niners. Of course, they didn't cover. But keeping that in mind, too, I think maybe that injury situation does come home to roost for Tennessee. But I think 2.5 is a decent opening number.
It is a good point about both of those teams. So Tennessee at Green Bay Thursday night. What do we think of both of those teams? So Kelly and I do our power rankings. I'm sure you do yours. Neither of those teams are in the top 10.
No.
Even Tennessee, which messes with Kansas City every time. But without all of those players, where do you tier them in the AFC? Like, they're sort of this X factor, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like this coach can manipulate a game to a point, even without players, where they can be competitive in anything. It also wouldn't shock you if they just had a horrible performance.
No, I agree. But the first thing I looked at is, boy, Derek, because I didn't watch that game that closely. It wasn't that big a thing.
No.
But I'm thinking, boy, Derrick Henry must have ran wild. Like I said, I think he had 52, 53 yards, something like that. You know, and they managed to win that game. And that's what he does. He just manages to win games.
Denver, here's the thing also about Russell Wilson. We'll get to Denver later. Russell Wilson has gotten to the point in his career, they obviously losing to Tennessee yesterday, where he's still elusive. Like he can escape a pass rusher, escape would-be tacklers. But now he does this thing where after he does that, right, in Seattle, he would throw and there'd be a wide open Tyler Lockett or something like that. Now he does it. He's willing to throw it into what we call last week, a team meeting of defenders. It's like, here you go. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel Hackett can't coach his way out of anything.
Well, you know, how many years have we been doing this show and how many years have I sung the praises of Russell Wilson?
Oh, we loved him.
Love singing him so far this year.
No.
Yeah, it looks like a different quarterback.
It's over. It's over. How's that Russell Wilson MVP ticket we have?
Oh, yeah, it's looking great. Looking great. Along with the Broncos futures.
Probably not as bad as the $250 million that they've promised to him over the next 4 years.
Yeah, for real. I the one guy we got to give a little credit to is Ryan Tannehill. Because I've been killing him on the air for years, it feels like. But the upgrade over a guy like Malik Willis to him, you have to take that into account. It's big. It's massive.
Yeah, his QBR yesterday, 83.3. Which I was surprised with. But like I said, I didn't watch the game that closely.
And I'm with you on Green Bay, what you said. Did this cure them of all their ills? No, I don't really buy it. Especially with Rodgers screaming at LaFleur at the end. What could go wrong there? More guessing lines. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's a numbers game here at VSiN. It's guessing lines for week 11 in the National Football League. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and of course the star of the show, Chrissy Andrews, is here. Now, Kelly and I have had to figure out that whenever we get to the Buffalo game, whenever Buffalo comes up on the schedule, we have to make it its own segment.
Yeah, clear 30 minutes out.
So we'll, I think, whatever your first game is here, the second one can't be Buffalo, basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah, we got it.
All right. What's next?
Game one, Bears at Falcons, 1 o'clock Eastern time.
10 a.m. on 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Bears at Falcons. The Bears are 3-7. The Falcons are 4-6 coming off the extra rest here. They played Carolina on Sunday. Oh, excuse me, on Thursday. Remember, Marcus Mariota, 19 of 30 for 186 in that game as the Falcons fell to the Panthers. But the Bears yesterday, for those of us who had the Bears, good God. Justin Fields, 12 completed forward passes, 12 of 20 for 167 against the Lions, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times, but 13 carries for 147 again, 2 touchdowns on the ground. The Bears finished with 258 yards rushing, making them the first team in the Super Bowl era with at least 225 yards rushing in 5 straight games. But they were hurt by 9 penalties, 9 for 86. The Bears were up 24-10. That's all you need to know. And those of us who had the Bears were sitting pretty good. We're like, ah, yes, geniuses we are. But then the Bears defense assisted a Detroit touchdown drive with multiple defensive penalties. Then on the ensuing drive, Fields throws an ill-advised pick six to his old college teammate, Jeffrey Okuda. And it's 24-24 with 10:29 left. In a span of just over a minute, the Lions make up 14 points. Brutal decision by Fields on that one. But third play ensuing Chicago drive, Fields 67-yard touchdown run on the RPO. Dude is amazing. 30-24 Bears. Cairo Santos misses the point after touchdown. These PATs are so not automatic anymore. So it's only a 6-point lead. Fields, by the way, becomes the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era with multiple rushing touchdowns of 60-plus yards in the same season. Both came in the past two games. But the Lions simply go on an 8-play, 91-yard drive that took 3 minutes and 2 seconds. The big play, Goff to Tom Kennedy for 44. You have Tom Kennedy on your fantasy team?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you have a fantasy team?
Looks like, no. That sounds like he played in the 50s, too.
I believe he was.
Tom Kennedy out wide.
Jack Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Tom Kennedy. I believe that was the pecking
order. He was a USC announcer for many years.
Jamal Williams, 1-yard rush caps. It's 31-30 Lions. The Bears get it with 2:17 left, but they could only muster 12 yards. Ball game. And the Bears lose a game they should have won. Oh, brutal. It's at Atlanta. I don't know. They can't be 3-point favorites, can they? I'll say Atlanta minus 2.5 again.
Well, kind of like your number better. Not quite. My power ratings come to 2, but it's 3. It's a blanket 3. I even see a little bit of juice on the favorite. I'm going to open 3 just because, you know, where we are at South Point, we don't mess with the juice or anything like that. So I'll see if they want to take it. They probably won't take it. Like I said, I see 3 with some juice on the favorite. They'll probably lay it, if anything. But my numbers come to 2. I think 3 is maybe just a hair too high.
A little bit aggressive, I would say. All right, what's next?
The Bears, by the way, saw this via Dan Orlovsky this morning. The highest scoring offense over the past month of football. The Chicago Bears. Whoa. Did not know that one. Next up, Eagles at Colts.
Eagles play tonight. Eagles play, pardon me, the Commanders tonight. Any plays on tonight's game?
Eagles had nothing.
I have nothing. It'll be an in-game experience. Too many points, you think?
Yeah.
I just want to do the what-ifs. I got a 10-teamer riding on the Eagles.
A 10-teamer?
Yeah.
Somebody does?
Or somebody, not me.
Oh,
no.
Right. Somebody
I
has
don't play those parts.
A money line or an ATS?
No, a parlay card.
Oh, a parlay card. Wow.
Yeah.
Would pay out what?
Enough to hurt us a little bit.
Enough to hurt you.
Okay. 10-teamer.
Six figures?
Right, yeah.
Right around. Okay. You'll notice that. You're a big Washington fan tonight, though.
Yeah, I am a big Washington fan.
All right. Philly at Indianapolis. Those Philly sight unseen.
Go Daniel Snyder.
Don't say that. Philly 8-0. Don't ever say those words. 8-0 Philly going into tonight against the Colts with Jeff Saturday as their head coach. They beat the Raiders. to move to 4-5-1, and this season ain't dead for the Colts. First of all, I have so much to say here. One, Jim Irsay lets Jeff Saturday have Matt Ryan as a starting quarterback when he would not permit Frank Reich to have Matt Ryan as a starting quarterback. From up above, he said, you must not play him anymore. You must play Sam Ehlinger. And the reason, by the way, for that is not only, hey, let's see what Ehlinger can do. It's financial. Because if Matt Ryan gets hurt and he fails his physical next year, it's a big financial burden on the Colts. And so this was like an RG3 thing in his last days in Washington. You cannot play. But yet here comes Jeff Saturday. He's like, sure, play Matt Ryan. When did you learn that Matt Ryan was playing in this game?
When they kicked off. But I speculated all week. And I talked to somebody at one of the papers. I said, here's my hunch. I don't know anything. No, yeah. I don't know a thing. But he wanted Saturday for whatever reason. My hunch is Saturday said, I ain't going in.
Maybe or, so.
You know, because Saturday came out and said, I might be auditioning for 31 other jobs.
Yeah.
I don't want this rookie quarterback. Let me play with a full menu here.
And Irsay probably took a split second to say yes.
And he probably said yes. Do I know anything? Not a damn thing. But just a speculation on my part. That was a clause that Saturday insisted on being able to choose. I mean, if he wanted to choose that somebody else, that's fine. But he wanted to play Matt Ryan.
Ryan ended up 21 of 28 for 222 in the Colts 25-20 win over the Raiders. One touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. 4 carries for 38 yards, a big carry late, which we'll get to in a minute. Also had a touchdown on the ground. Jonathan Taylor's return was huge, 22 for 147 and a touchdown, 207 rushing yards total for the Colts in this game against the Raiders. Again, new play caller as well for the Colts here. The Colts were up 10-0, 2nd and 10 at the Raiders 42 with 6:45 left in the second quarter. Ryan Nkikikute tackled by Trayvon Morgan. Jayon Brown recovered it for the Raiders, and then they went 79 yards, the Raiders did, to make it 10-7. You're like, okay, well, the Raiders are going to figure this out, right? They can't lose here. The Raiders went up 14-13 in the third quarter to take the first lead, but the second play of the subsequent drive, Taylor for 66 yards to the house, 19-14 Indianapolis, and then after trading punts, Carr to Devontae Adams. Devontae played great yesterday for 48, and the Raiders went back up 20-19. Two-point conversion failed. They traded punts again, then a 5-play, 82-yard touchdown drive for the Colts, highlighted by a 39-yard run by Matt Ryan, which I urge you to watch the replay of and watch the Raiders lollygagging.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Webb, I'm talking about you. And then a Michael Pittman Jr. How about the next play, or later in that drive, the 39-yard run by Ryan, and then a Michael Pittman Jr. fumble that the Raiders impossibly didn't land on. Next play, Campbell from Ryan for 35, 25-20 Indianapolis. Two-point conversion failed. The game ended on a 4th-and-7 for the Raiders at the Indianapolis 16. They got all the way to the 16-yard line. And on 4th down, I guess Derek Carr figured, oh, well, Devontae's in single coverage. Let me just throw the ball up in the air and pray. Well, it was Stephon Gilmore, and there was just no space between Gilmore and Adams at all. And I was just like, what a low percentage play. And that was it. Incomplete. Ball game. Never had a chance. Colts win. And Josh McDaniels is still employed currently at this moment.
Well, you know, he's another one. I want to like McDaniel. I actually thought the Raiders were going to be pretty good this year. I want to like McDaniel, but that defensive play that you were talking about, there was like no enthusiasm,
none.
Nothing on that play. Does that go to the head coach, the defensive coordinator? I'm not sure. Defensive coordinator, I don't even know who that is. There's some real problems there.
Brent Musburger. Brent was on the Megapod, kind enough to join us on the Megapod on Thursday. He thinks the reason McDaniels will keep his job is for financial reasons.
Could be. Yeah.
From the owner. I mean, at some point, financial, I would say, right? But the
his first year, you know.
By the way, my guess on this is Eagles sight unseen. Eagles -7 on the road. Let me just get to that.
Okay.
But the other thing also I want to get to Saturday is, do you think we overrate the fact that he was just came off the street? Because it is Jeff Saturday, 12-year NFL player who played with Peyton Manning, multiple Pro Bowls. Do you think we made too much of that?
Yeah, because I think I talked to Brent a little bit too. He came in to visit me. We talked about the situation. First of all, centers, like, this is a very broad statement.
Yeah.
Usually, besides a quarterback, the smartest guy on the team.
They're like catchers, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, Saturday said, he goes, I know greatness. I mean, he played with, you know, what do you say, 4 Hall of Famers? He was in the Pro Bowl 12 times or something like that, made the playoff X amount of time, won a Super Bowl. Yeah, I think, you know, and we're not going to have time to go into my little diatribe on him, but I think, yeah, I find myself kind of rooting for Saturday a little bit.
Seems like a good dude.
You know, anyway, my power ratings came to 10.5, and it kind of opened a little higher than, like around that number last night, but it's 9.5 now, and I kind of think I'm going to open 9.5. Let's see what the Eagles look like tonight.
Yeah. Sight unseen, always difficult. Let's see what the Eagles look. Coming to me, though. Coming down to me. We'll come back. I believe it's the Bills next. Oh, do we have this to go through? And what about the Bills? What about Josh Allen? It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The World Cup countdown is on, and now's the time to get your copy of our World Cup betting guide. We have in-depth analysis from Nigel Seeley on all 8 groups. VSiN's team of experts provide their picks and predictions for every group and the Golden Boot Award. And if you're new to betting World Cup soccer, don't worry, Josh Applebaum will break down everything you need to know. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. Sign up now for just $99 and get VSiN Pro access for everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We got some Paul Carr coming up this week, Kelly, for some World Cup previews. You excited about the World Cup?
Let's go.
By the way, South Point.
Yeah.
As always, open 24 hours a day, so as games in the middle of the night, I know where you could come and bet.
One of my great memories was when the World Baseball Classic was here when VSiN first started, the first month of VSiN. Me in the vacuum going watching World Baseball Classic
World
at 3 in the morning. Let's go, Israel. Let's go. So we'll have Paul Carr on the World Cup. By the way, Kelly, I did not buy your enthusiasm for 1 second on that.
Yeah, well, I'll just go back to what you always say. I'd be much more excited about it if it was in July.
Yeah,
or June, or whatever,
sure.
You know, whatever it normally is.
We get tweets. Andy G, born again, bantam. The number of Raiders players just jogging, literally jogging on that play is a massive red flag. That's either an attitude problem or a deliberate tank. There's no explanation in between, and I speak as a Falcons fan who knows just how glacial Maddie's scrambles are. Israel Negron, how do you factor Josh McDaniels still being the Raiders coach into your lines exercise every week? I mean, I don't really, but maybe we should start. Ben McGovern, as a Bills fan, can you not make the Bills Vikes its own segment? Thanks in advance. Sorry, Ben. We're going to have to. And Jesse Welch, Thursday, we have Titans versus Packers. Gil, quote, I guess that's an interesting game. Haha, love it. All right. Have we come to it? Is this the game?
This is it. This is time. Browns at Bills.
Browns at Bills. Browns are 3-6. Bills are 6-3. Browns, let's not spend much time on the Browns. The Browns lose to the Dolphins. Jacoby Brissett was 22 of 35 for 212, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. All you need to know is they gave up 491 total yards to Miami. Did you see Tua's touchdown throw at the end, close to the end of the first half, to Trent Sherfield? What a thing of beauty in the corner of the end zone. Perfect pass, perfect tippy toe, or tap, I should say, by Sherfield. Anyway,
excuse me. Do you know the number one quarterback QBR in the league so far?
It's got to be Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa.
He's got 10 touchdowns and zero picks since his return. He's gone from we're worried if he should ever play another snap of football to you might be the MVP and the comeback player within a year, within the same season.
18-3 is his touchdown interception ratio.
Browns will have Deshaun Watson coming back in 3 weeks. Or in three games, I should
say. Tua has surpassed Josh Allen on the MVP odds.
As he should, which we'll get to now. Because Josh Allen ain't no MVP, guys. So here's the thing. Before we even get into this, let's go to you, Chrissy. So all week, Josh Allen was questionable to play with the old UCL, the injured throwing elbow. And the line fluctuated. Remember when we were here a week ago, the Bills were like, will you tell me, where did it go from where to where to where?
I had to chart it yesterday just for my own enjoyment. I figured we might talk about it on the show. So Monday, we opened 8. We went to, this is all Monday. Went from 8 to 7.5 to 7 to 6.5. Tuesday morning, we went from 6.5 to 6. Then down to 5.5, then down to 5. Wednesday, we went from 5 to 4.5 to 4. Thursday, we went from 4 to 3.5. Friday, we went from 3.5 to 3. Saturday, went from 3 to 3.5 to 4 to 5 to 5.5 to 6 to 6.5. Sunday morning, we went from 6.5 to 6, then to 5, then to 6, then to 6.5.
Wow.
Now, along the way, the totals and the money line are moving in conjunction. So the money line, we had a low of $2. Should have probably been lower. At a low of $2 and a high of $360. That's on the minus side. The total went from 48 to 43.5 and back and forth in between.
It's amazing.
It's the most moved game that I can – I mean, there may have been others, but it's the most moved game because Josh Allen, you know, in the conversation for the MVP, at least till yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it wasn't – he wasn't out, he wasn't in. We didn't know.
Well, so, Kelly, help me out with this. So he didn't make an appearance on the field yesterday until emerging from the tunnel for pregame warmups about 45 minutes before kickoff. And he and backup Case Keenum both took practice snaps. But you were saying Friday a camera caught him?
Yeah, so they were. So it was Wednesday, no practice. Thursday, no practice. Friday, no practice. But remember, it's the media only gets to see the first 15, 20 minutes of practice. Media comes in, I think it was end of practice, to do some interviews. And one of the guys captured this on camera where it was Josh Allen right there in there doing stuff. Some coach whispers something into his ear, and he sprints off the field. He's sprinting off the field,
Josh,
so cameras don't catch him.
Josh, you're not supposed to be here. Get out.
So this is where this stuff is tough, right? I mean, you don't see him at practice all week. And I'm sure there's an injury he's dealing with. But yeah, they try to hide this stuff as much as they can.
Well, what resulted? Please.
I was on with Brent yesterday at 9:02, and he had a guy from Buffalo on the show. He and I were both on at the same time, and the guy was saying the same thing. Yeah, they're out practicing, they're out warming up, but Josh Allen isn't out there. But he's saying there and at the time, we're not sure if he's playing or not. We weren't, So this is like 45 minutes before the game. We didn't know.
Yeah, that's what he showed up right before 45 minutes before kickoff. What resulted was the game of the year. 967 yards of offense between the Bills and the Vikings. Up 17-10, 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Buffalo stopped Minnesota on a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1 on 2 straight incomplete passes and then took the ball themselves. 5 plays, 72 yards. Allen to Gabe Davis, 11-yard touchdown. It's 24-10, 26 seconds left in the first half. So they go into the locker room up 14. You're like, well, the Bills, that was the key sequence. They stopped the Vikings. They matriculated quickly down the field. They're up 14. By the way, they got up 17, 27-10. And the Vikings had a 2% win probability down 17. 2%, according to Next Gen. Then, late third quarter, they give up. The Bills do an 81-yard touchdown run to Dalvin Cook, where he was running more than 21 miles per hour at his peak.
That was a great run. And a great block, by the way, by Jefferson.
126 left in the third quarter. Jefferson was doing everything. 126 left in the third quarter. It's 27-17. Then 10:42 left in the fourth quarter. Let's pick it up here. 4th-and-2 at the Minnesota 7. You're up 10. They opt not to kick the field goal. They go for it instead of going up 13. And Allen throws, just like he did last week, a horrible pick to Patrick Peterson this time, in the end zone, who returns at 39 yards. And oh, for good measure, Allen then throws his shoulder into Peterson to pry the ball loose, to try to pry the ball loose. and is shaken up on the play. He's brutalizing himself also physically because he doesn't know any other way to play.
It reminds me of Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck retired at 29. This kid might be having the same trajectory.
So Vikings convert a fourth and one at their own 43 with 9:02 left on an Osborne 2-yard run. I think he converted. They gave it to him. Then a fourth and six on a Cousins to Hockenson 12-yard pass. Then five plays later, C.J. Ham, 3-yard touchdown. It's 27-23, and Greg Joseph doinks the point after touchdown. So it remains a four-point game. They force, Minnesota does, force Buffalo 3-and-out. Then fourth and 18 at the Minnesota 27 with 2 minutes left. Fourth and 18, which will live in Minnesota infamy. Or I should say lore. Fummy. I should say lore. Yes, yeah. Fummy.
Up until this point of the game.
The Vikings have only one timeout left, so it's basically do or die. You convert the fourth and 18 under 2 minutes, or you're done. Cousins to Justin Jefferson with the catch of his life for 32 yards, somehow maintaining control with one hand as he came to the ground contested. Jefferson, at one point, his body was parallel to the ground, his arm perpendicular to the ground. He reached back to get one hand on the ball and rip it out of the grasp of Bills defender Cam Lewis. I've never seen anything like that in my life. It was almost like Cam Lewis helped him keep the ball up from hitting
hit the
ground.
By a molecule.
It was amazing. Then Cousins to Thielen for 9. Tack on 15 for unnecessary roughness. Christian Benford. Then 14 to Jefferson. First and goal to 3. The Vikings surely are going to win this. 3 plays later, Cousins to Jefferson. 3rd and goal at the 6. Down at the doorstep. They thought it was a touchdown. They initially called it a touchdown. Reversed. 4th and goal, inches away. 57 seconds left. You got to sneak here, right? Cousins to Cook. He drops it. But a clear offside on Jordan Phillips, so we do it again. Half the distance. 50 seconds left. Cousins sneak this time. Short. The Bills are going to win it. The Bills are going to win it. But it's 1st and 10 inches away from their own goal line. 48 seconds left. And a botched snap with the center, Mitch Morse. Fumble.
Oh, my God.
Eric Kendricks recovers. Touchdown, Vikings 30-27. On those 3 plays from Next Gen Stats, the Vikings went from a 70% win probability on the doorstep of the end zone to a 1% win probability when they didn't get in, to a 78% win probability when they recovered the fumble.
Things that happen when nobody takes the snap under center anymore.
Unbelievable. It's like Josh Allen's hands closed before the snap came up. 41 seconds left, mortar kick, took some time off the clock. Bills start at their own 20 with 36 seconds left. Dawson Knox for 12. Sam Martin for 8 to their own 40. 24 seconds left. Davis for 20. He didn't catch it. They don't review it. They just
Vegas
keep going.
Vegas made a phone call.
Of course, that guy. Then McKenzie for 15. Like, what am I watching? Is this the Rams 2 minutes defense from last week against the Bucks? Disgraced by the officials, by the way, not to review that. They review everything and not that. That pass to Gabe Davis. 11 seconds left at the Vikings 25. They need a field goal to tie. The Bills now thinking more than a PI called on Minnesota. But with only 5 seconds left, they decide, well, we better get the 29-yarder. And they do. And we're going to overtime, which is where we'll pick up on the other side. Good God. Is that Joe Pisarczyk-esque? Is that big of a... It will be remembered for decades, that fumble.
Why would they not take the safety?
They think about it. Coming
more
back.
More on the other side.
Coming back. Pro tip time, Kelly?
Pro tip time.
Pro tip time. So this one has a few qualifiers. As we head toward the end of the season, injuries will be piling up for teams across the league. Make sure you're checking injury and practice reports daily to help inform bets. In fact, I would go as far as to say that more than anything, checking injury and practice reports, especially this time of year, is your best first place to look to help you win bets in the National Football League. Now, having said that, we, of course, have to say this past week, none of that would have mattered in terms of will Josh Allen play or will Matt Ryan play. So hopefully that's not the norm. But generally, injury reports and practice reports are the biggest thing.
Generally, hopefully, once you again, don't get this every week.
Once again, thanks to John Scott TV for showing Josh Allen sprinting off the practice field on Friday. Hey, Josh, get out of here.
Hey, I'm hurting. I got to go get this looked at.
You're not supposed to be here, man. All right, we get tweets. By the way, that's Veasan.com for pro subscribers. 20 a day, pro tips, that is, right here at Veasan. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney. We get tweets. Jorge Mondaca, I forget what producer number he was. He was 3, by the way. You called him Georgie Bueno, and he didn't like that. He had great excitement on his own show during the 2018 World Cup. As Jorge had, Kelly needs his own World Cup show with that being the only topic. I'll be your agent for free, he says. By the way, Jorge Mundaca, what he did, his biggest contribution for the World Cup is before the matches started, the game started, he would look up at the screen. This is right as the show started. And he would measure the enthusiasm sung by each side at their national anthem, and he would pick whichever team was more enthusiastic.
0.27 goals of home field advantage there.
It was masterful.
Really?
I don't know if it was or not. We just got a big kick out of him. He would turn his back to me and, like, assess the national anthem enthusiasm. Bruce Dobigan, thanks for mentioning the Bills' inane decision to forego easy 3 points in the fourth quarter. It was the difference in the game. Professional misconduct for McDermott, who's proving not up to the task of game management. Chris Ryko, how about the quality of NFL media coverage? Last week, entire country focused on Josh Allen injuries, and according to some media outlets, he should be out. He started. Instead, two starting quarterbacks in the Cardinals-Rams game were out, and somehow both absences were missed by the media. Well, those were pretty much known, I think, towards the end, anyway.
Well, they were all both questionable.
We knew that Stafford had a concussion problem.
Yes. I think the one thing
Kyler.
I push back on that that tweet a bit is that the media is only going to be able to get what the team gives them. So when the team tells you that Josh Allen's hurt all week, and you know then they're working him out in practices, and who knows when they're working out with him, there's nothing the media can really do about that.
Here's a couple though, Chrissy, that push back on the Bills taking a safety there. A master of puppets. No way the Bills can take a safety there. Makes it 27-25 with too much time left. Andrew Rin says the same thing. He says, can't take a safety with 45 seconds left. Bills went down and got into field goal range. No reason to think the Vikings couldn't either.
I was in the office with Vinny and myself and Jimmy and Ryan Growney, who's the GM here. We're sweating that game pretty good. And right away, Ryan says, and me and Vinny were both saying the same, take the safety. They're this far from their own goal line.
Jimmy wasn't watching the movie channel? He was watching football?
He was watching football. He didn't echo any opinion at this point. But Ryan says, why take the safety? And as soon as he said that, they fumble a snap. Minnesota, I says, to avoid that.
The Pisarcik thing might be worse, though, because, again, I was super young, but my recollection was they could have just knelt on the ball.
Teams didn't do that at that point in time. They did not do that for whatever reason. That was not what was happening. The quarterback would hand it off.
Talking about the Giants botching a handoff to Larry Zonka back in the day, which Herm Edwards picked it up
and went
and
all
the
Eagles
way.
But they weren't doing that at that time. I don't know if that was whatever reason it was, but they weren't doing it. They would hand off to the running back.
Let's go to overtime. It's 30-30. The Vikings win the toss. They matriculate the ball down the field. 24-yard pass to Jefferson to the two. How dominant was Jefferson? Justin Jefferson. So it's first and goal at the two for the Vikings in overtime. It's over again, right? Nope. Cook, 3-yard loss. Cousins sacked by Ed Oliver and Shaq Lawson for a 10-yard loss. Then an incompletion. 3:45 left in overtime. They have to settle for a Greg Joseph 33-yard field goal. It's 33-30 Minnesota. And then the Bills get the ball. Did you immediately think, oh, there's no chance Josh Allen is not taking this team down the field for victory?
Left him way too much time. It's Josh Allen. Game's over. Can't kick a field goal there. You lost.
Two Allen runs. Well, they had to by the sack. Two Allen runs, one for 18, another for 20, starts the drive. Then a 7-yard pass to Diggs, takes it to the 2-minute warning with Buffalo already at the Minnesota 27. This is an overtime. Then seven more to Diggs, 1:25 left. First and 10, Buffalo at the Minnesota 20. Incomplete pass to Dawson Knox, and then second down, Josh Allen does it again. A horrific pick right to Patrick Peterson in the end zone. Ball game. Game of the year. Vikings win it 33-30. Finally, in the end, three turnovers by Allen in the fourth quarter in overtime. That's four red zone picks for Josh Allen the last 2 weeks. All of them horrific passes.
Yep.
And not enough is being said about this, quite frankly.
Leads the league in interceptions.
And he's getting, and I'll say this again, he's getting brutalized physically as well because he can't help himself when he's running, when he's trying to make a tackle. He just looks for contact. And by the way, young Gil might have lucked into two AFC East bets with the Dolphins and Jets because I thought he was going to be out for a while, and I bet those last week. They're still dogs. I mean, Buffalo's still the team to beat because they're, what are they, one game behind the...
half a game
behind the Dolphins, tied with the Jets. Dolphins' schedule is brutal. But Allen ends up 29 of 43 for 331, touchdown, two picks. He was sacked twice, six carries for 84 yards and a fumble loss. But he has turnovers in eight of his last nine games with 10 picks, two more than he had all last season. He's also lost three fumbles, matching his total last year. Diggs, by the way, 12 for 128. The Bills were minus two in turnovers. They had four of their own. And Buffalo in one possession game since the start of last season, 2-9. Mm-hmm. By the way, masterpiece from Joe Davis on the play-by-play call. He was great. So, oh, I haven't even given a – so Cleveland at Buffalo, my goodness. Buffalo, I split the difference between 7 and 10. I said minus 8.5.
You're closer than my number, but I like my number better.
Which is?
It's 9 pretty much everywhere. My power range come to 11.5. Now, usually I'm looking at diminishing returns. I'm looking at this game. I think the Browns are hanging on by a thread right now. And you look at Buffalo's wins against inferior teams. Now, they beat Kansas City, I think, by 4. They beat the Ravens by 3. They beat the Rams by 21. They beat the Titans by 34. They beat the Steelers by 35. They beat the Packers by 10. I think they crush this team this week. I think they come out. I think people are going to be a prisoner of the moment. Buffalo blew that game. Josh Allen played poorly. May have played himself out of the MVP conversation, certainly at this point. I think they come out and I think they crush this team. I really like the Bills. I think the money might be against the Bills this week, which will only reinforce my opinion. I think the Bills come out strong. I think they annihilate this Browns team this week.
You might be very right, and no one's going to be surprised because the Browns aren't really good at football.
No, I think the Browns, like I said, Miami destroyed them yesterday. Destroyed them. And I think Buffalo does the same. So it's 9 like a blank. I even see an 8.5. I'm going to open 9.5, see if I can get somebody to bite on that.
Spoiler alert, I don't think the Bills are going to be my number one power ranked team anymore.
Oh, they're not mine either. I dropped them down to third.
Yeah, I already dropped them last week.
Yeah. They'll be in the top three, but they're not going to be number one anymore. Yeah.
Not from one.
Let's squeeze in one more real quick here.
It's still three at the top, right? Still three at the top.
Yeah.
Jets at Patriots.
Both teams were on a bye this week, so there's nothing to talk about. The Jets are 6-3, tied with the Bills for second place, a half game behind the Dolphins of the AFC East. And the Patriots bringing up the rear at 5-4, both Eastern divisions. Really good. The Patriots will be 2.5-point favorites, not quite 3 against the Jets.
No, it's 3.5 everywhere.
Really?
My power range come to 4.
Well, I might take the 3 and the hook on the Jets.
Yeah, I think I'm going to open 3.5. pretty close.
Why are you laughing?
I was looking at it last night hard, too. I'm like, how's this over 3? I think I might have to do it. But then the idea of going into New England with a second-year quarterback scares me.
But listen, and this number opened higher last night. It was 5.5. I did see a 3.5 on the openers last night. But I think 3.5's okay. But, you're right.
That game is
Belichick against a quarterback like Wilson.
that game, though, is all about who gets the lead, right?
It really is, yes.
If we don't usually say that about pro football games, but like if the Patriots get the lead, they could win by 20. But if the Jets get the lead, they could win by double digits as well.
The Jet defense is legit.
Interesting game. It's pretty good. It's got implications for that game as well. Jets and Patriots next week. Whole bunch more games to get to. We'll get to them all in the second hour of Guessing Lines. Looking for value. Might have found some on the Jets there, I think. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here as well, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, and the star of Guessing Lines, which is what we're doing for week 11. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpocha, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook right behind us here on the tip of the strip in lovely Las Vegas, Nevada. We get text, we get tweets. The text, this is from Richard Palma. I don't know if he wants me to say this, but I'm saying it anyway. Richard Palma has Tua Tagovailoa MVP tickets at 80-1 and 75-1.
Nice.
Ho, 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 ho. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. Am I with you every Friday in the month of November at 8 a.m.?
Lock Pacific? It in, Mike.
Lock it in. By the way, they came on the show on Friday. They moved the line 5.5 points, was it, in the end? 4.5?
Easy win or two.
Which
easy
win?
The game in the wind.
Yeah.
The game on the boat between, was it Michigan State?
Michigan State and Gonzaga.
And Gonzaga on Friday night.
Basketball on a boat. Unders work out.
The whole handicap was, Izzo was like, wind seems to affect the... It's a pretty good handicap right there. These tweets, by the way, beating the book, always appreciate it. This is from Vinny Anton. Everyone is debating sneak versus safety. Well, not everyone, Vinny. He says, but you sneak it, and if you're stuffer a safety on the sneak, so be it. If you gain 1 yard, game's over. You can't manage the game on the possibility of a fumbled snap. I think you're right, Vinny. You cannot.
I agree with that.
Elvis Toast Patterson. Oh, boy, Elvis Patterson was toast. He says the most underrated comment of the show was when you said, you mean Jimmy wasn't watching the movie channel? He was watching football? I almost spit out my coffee. Because that's a Jimmy Vaccaro staple. He's back there watching, was it TMC?
TCM.
Yeah. When so I say TMC.
But not during not Saturday and Sunday.
But Jimmy will be, no problem. Jimmy will be like, hey, kid. Yeah. By the way, he calls me kid. He calls everybody kid. Hey, kid, you know Audrey Hepburn was 30? I'm like, I do not know that, Jimmy. A little bit before it's like flatter. I
mean, really enjoyed the idea of Jimmy flipping back from Turner Classic Movies to TMZ.
TCM
to TMZ. Let's keep up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, no TMZ for Jimmy.
American treasure, Jimmy Vaccaro.
Right. Might be doing it for Andy Griffith Show or Gomer Pyle or Green Acres, but not TMZ. He might not know who the Kardashians are.
It's like, have you ever had a conversation with Flatter? Flatter, like, knows nothing from younger than him. It's only when he was a kid. So he Gil, you remember when Beverly Sills? I was like, I do not remember that, Bron.
These are the people when you get them and JVT in the same room together and they have nothing to talk about. It's like, you want to talk about 2006 when our lives actually crossed paths?
All right, let's go. Let's continue now because we got games to get to.
Got to fly through it. One Eastern, Rams at Saints.
All right, well, the Rams' fifth loss by double digits this season. It was no Matthew Stafford. By the way, the fifth loss by double digits, the most in the NFL. No Stafford. He was in concussion protocol. He did not play. So it was John Wolford, our old playoff friend. 24 of 36 for 212, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked three times. The Rams lose, though. They lose to the Cardinals. The big thing, Cooper Kupp was badly hurt early fourth quarter. He had one catch for minus 3 yards. And according to the Athletic's Jordan Rodriguez, reporting that Cooper Kupp, quote, appears to have avoided a worst-case scenario with the injury. That seems to say that Kupp at least won't be out for the entirety of the season, but he could very well still be looking at multiple week absence. I thought he was toast for the season.
Looked bad.
Yeah. Cardinals beat the Rams 27-17. By the way, first half yardage for the Rams, 77 of them. The fewest in the Sean McVay era. And in fact, if you want to break it down further, they had 15 yards after their opening drive to halftime.
Ugh.
Is that good?
Against the Cardinals, too.
Against the Cardinals. By the way, how much of this game did you watch? I watched so close to none of it.
So I got the two TV set up,
yeah.
Gil. I had money in play on both the other games, so I watched a total of, I don't know, 6 minutes of this game.
It is rare on a football Sunday that I miss most, you know, like almost everything of a game, but this one it was just like, I can't watch
it. I mean,
this.
If you don't have money on it, you got two backup quarterbacks playing, what's the point?
What's the point? Minus two in turnovers were the Rams in their loss to the Cardinals. New Orleans. New Orleans loses to the Pittsburgh Steelers, your Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. So it's a 3-6 Rams against the 3-7 Saints. Oh, God. Dalton, 17 of 27 for 174, one touchdown, two picks. He was sacked twice. 10 first downs for the Saints, 10 and 186 total yards, only 29 rushing against Pittsburgh, who had T.J. Watt back. They were minus two in turnovers. They had 10 penalties for 74 yards. They had a 38-56 to 21-04 disadvantage in time of possession. It's time to play Jameis.
Make the switch.
For God's sakes. Jameis has been waiting all his life for this. Let him play.
Let him play. You at least sell tickets. Jameis makes it fun. He makes it interesting.
He does that.
That's a guarantee. He's one of the most entertaining players in the NFL.
Interesting and entertaining. Such great catch-all words for him.
I didn't say you're going to win a Super Bowl.
I don't know. Saints by three. What else can it be?
It's Saints by three everywhere.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I watched both those games pretty closely.
Big decision.
Well, you know, it was funny. And, you know, sometimes you just shake your head. Like, why? I understand a lot of moves, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. A big late move on the Rams yesterday.
Why?
And I'm sitting there like, what are these people seeing that I don't? I mean, we knew it was going to be – what's the guy's name? The quarterback for the Rams.
Wolford.
Yeah. We knew it was going to be him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking there – you know, first of all, you know I'm not a Kyler Murray guy. I'm thinking Colt McCoy, that's a pretty decent backup. Why the move on the Rams? I couldn't understand. That wound up being a big game for us. So I watched quite a bit of that game.
I'm with you, Chris. That line movement confused me a little bit. Almost got me in on the Cardinals because I think people thought backup quarterbacks, you're getting a better team with the Rams – But I'm getting a better quarterback with the Cardinals, in my opinion.
So anyway, and I watch both those games, and my power ratings come to pick them on this. Who put that three up there?
Oh, you had a pick them?
I made it pick them. Now, I'll probably open three just because I don't want to mess with threes like we do here because everything's at 11 to 10. But if I had a different place, I'd open three, the dog 20, or 2.5, the favorite 20, to take a bet. I'm going to keep an eye on this one because both teams stink. And
really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but the Rams won the Super Bowl. I don't know if you know that.
Was that last year?
They're the Super Bowl. They're defending Super Bowl champions.
And you're talking, I mean, Kupp looks like he's out, I would say. Stafford, we're not sure.
And he was their only weapon. Now
the
what
only weapon. You know, so maybe the Saints treat it. But the Saints have a million injuries. What was Dalton's QBR yesterday? It was like 23 or 25, something like that. Yeah, I mean, go to Winston. But this is a terrible game.
Free Jameis.
You know,
what's next?
I mean, I'll open three, but if that goes lower, I'm going lower.
Can only be three.
Lions at Giants, 1 o'clock Eastern.
3-6 Lions, 7-2 Giants. We talked about the Lions against the Bears. The Lions scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Bears. Good on the Lions and Dan Campbell for winning their last two. Jared Goff ended up 19 of 26 for 236, one touchdown, no pick, sacked twice. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yes, 10 catches for 119 yards. We went through that. What a collapse by the Bears. Good on the Lions. 14 points in just over a minute to come back from 24-10 to 24-24, then down 6, scoring that last touchdown. The Giants beat the Texans. Good on you, Kelly Bidlin, for sticking to your guns on this. Daniel Jones, 13 of 17 for 197, two touchdowns, no picks, sacked three times. Saquon, though, 35 for 152 and a touchdown. Giants were +2 in turnovers against the Texans. But I will say this. I mean, the Texans had all the chances in the world, right? They were down 21-10 late third quarter. Big Damian Pierce fumble on a second and goal. The Giants 10 with 14:17 left. Vintage 2022 Giants. Then down the same score, next Texans drive after a Mills to Cooks touchdown pass was called back. Mills at the Giants 29, picked by Dane Belton in the end zones. I mean, could have gone a different way, but those are the Texans and those are the 2022 Giants. Detroit at the Giants, it can't be more than four, right? Giants by four.
My power ranks come to 5. It opened 4 pretty much everywhere last night, but it's down to 3.5. So money showed on the dog. I'm going to open the game 4. I want to take a bet here. The Lions defense is just so bad.
So bad.
And they find ways to lose games. I know they pulled one out yesterday against the Bears, but they find ways to lose games. You know, I'm going to open 4 and take a bet. I'm sure they'll bet me just because we're half point off of a key number, you know, but, they could have it. I don't mind going into this game if I need the Giants for a bet or two. That's fine with me.
We're at the point in the season where like most of these lines are going to be dead on, most of these guesses, but then every once in a while, they're going to be like, whoa.
This one surprised me a little bit. If someone hangs a 3 up there, they'll be getting Giants action from me again this week.
You didn't get nervous though with all those opportunities?
No, of course I did.
Yeah,
that was a big game for us. We wound up needing the Giants pretty good. I watched quite a bit of that game too, and then Houston definitely had their opportunities.
The Giants
were the better team.
They definitely did. The Giants aren't world beaters. It was just they're going to turn around and hand the ball off to Saquon a million times, and you have the worst run defense in the league.
I was going to say, that ain't a bad strategy.
Yeah,
Giants really get into the playoffs. This outfit?
I don't know.
All right.
Probably because they're so far ahead right now. Panthers at Ravens, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Panthers on extra rest. Kelly read my mind right there. Panthers at Ravens. Panthers.
And a note on this game, Baker Mayfield will start Sunday.
If he's starting now, why didn't you start him last week?
I don't know. P.J. Walker dealing with a high ankle sprain, according to Steve Wilks.
Yeah, that great second half Baker did, against Scrubs, but still. Panthers at 3-7, extra rest. P.J. remember, it was 10 of 16 on Thursday for 108 against the Falcons. But Donta Foreman crushed 31 for 130 on the ground. And the Panthers had 232 rushing yards against the Falcons. And Baltimore is off this week. 6-3 Ravens. Baker starting? Does that lower the line? I guess it does.
It has moved
I was
a little
I
bit.
Was going to say -13.5, but I'll say it's still above 10. I don't know, maybe a little less than that. So it's probably -11.5, -12.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah, you're right there. It's 11.5, 12.
Yeah.
I kind of like I like the lower number a little bit. This is a game I'm looking at diminishing returns. Baltimore, I haven't been a big Baltimore guy all year, and I'm not sure they deserve to be high double digits, which, a 12 or a 13, I would consider high double digits against a team like this. I think Panthers play tough, hang in there. I think 11.5 is enough. That's what I'm going to open.
Yeah. I'm not racing to bet that.
Yeah.
Back door is going to be open.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, they've blown some leads this year, too. I don't know if it could blow the game, but they might blow a lead.
Well, Baltimore's whole offense is like long, sustained drives.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. That's another kid. It reminds me, you know, a little bit of like the Andrew Luck situation. He's going to be retired at 30. He's taking too many hits, Jackson. You know, I mean, the league right now is made to protect quarterbacks. You have to protect yourself if you're a quarterback.
Gots to. Whole bunch more to get to. 6 more ball games to get to. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing lines.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College basketball started. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide at over 400 pages. It's our biggest betting guide ever with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Our team of experts include Greg Hoops Peterson and Matt Humans, also Wes Reynolds, Jonathan Von Tobel. They provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, a breakdown of all 60 coaching changes since last season. The only way to get the guide, though, is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $99 to get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We were talking off air. I don't know how we got on this subject, but I was just talking about Kelly Stafford, Matthew Stafford's wife, and how at this point she's probably saying to him, look, Matthew, if she calls him Matthew, I don't know if she calls him Matthew, look, babe, look, Maddie, whatever she calls him. It's not the point, but somehow I've gone down this rabbit hole. She said, look, you have all these, I don't know if she uses the phrase counting stats, but let's pretend she does. You have all these counting stats that make you a borderline Hall of Famer. We won our Super Bowl last year. We have all the money in the world. This team sucks. They left you out there with a concussion. Let's just walk. And you pointed out she also recovered from yeah. brain cancer.
Right.
Why does he have any reason to continue playing football?
See, Kelly, you got to approach this conversation differently because I'd be saying borderline. I'll show you borderline Hall of Famer.
I think get an argument. You get an argument right there. I just think that's they are so bad. And it's only going to get worse. Because remember, yeah. they sold out everything to win the Super Bowl.
They went
year.
All in.
Yeah.
All
and good in. On them. They got it, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean Matthew Stafford's got to stick
I'm
around.
I'm with you. Hang it up. Like, I'd rather. He's a guy I enjoyed watching for his entire career. You got your Super Bowl. Hang it up. What else? What else is there left?
People of Detroit still love him. He loves Detroit, you know. But he won a Super Bowl elsewhere. All right, what's next?
Commanders at Texans.
We're still in the morning?
Last of the early window.
Commanders at Texans. Commanders sight unseen. They haven't played. They play the Eagles tonight. Washington is 4-5 heading into that game tonight. Houston 1-7-1. Houston in the driver's seat for worst record, but boy, oh boy, the teams like the Raiders aren't letting them get away, are they? Boy, the Texans are something else. Davis Mills in that loss yesterday to the Giants was 22 of 37 for 319. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked 4 times. As I mentioned, they were -2 in turnovers. They had all the chances in the world. Washington has a really easy schedule coming up. They got a couple games against the Giants, back-to-back, by the way, with a bye thrown in. A little scheduling quirk. Sight unseen on Washington, I'll say they're -4 on the road against Houston.
My numbers come to Washington 2.5.
How dare the market.
2 or 2.5 pretty much everywhere. And so I'm going to open my 2.5.
Really?
I see some 2s out there. Huh. I think 2.5's fine. You know, Houston... I know they have one win and a tie, but they managed to stay in a lot of games. And, I mean, let's not go crazy over your Washington
The offense is getting better, for sure. The Houston offense is getting better. It is not good. It is not great, but it is getting better.
I think Aaron Schatz, who you had on your show, and I think he may have said it on your show. He might have said it somewhere else. They in the offseason, they wound up signing a bunch of mediocre players. Which mediocre for Houston is a big improvement. They're not bad. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're terrible, but you know, they could cover numbers. Yeah, you know, 2.5 is what I made it.
I saw a kid yesterday, like a teenager, wearing a Washington number 17 uniform yesterday. And I came this close to being like, Doug Williams, baby, Super Bowl 22.
That was one of the biggest bets of my life.
Oh, dude, don't get me started. 35 second quarter points. Let's bask in that for a second, everybody. And then I thought for a second, I was like, maybe I shouldn't say that. And as he walked by, I looked back. It was the incomparable Terry McLaurin jersey.
Ah.
I was like, how old am I? I didn't even know. I didn't even occur to me that was
he
McLaurin.
He was like, yeah, buddy.
He was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
This old man yelled at me earlier in the parking lot.
Your guy Dotson's back tonight.
John Dotson's back. Yeah, yeah.
Penn State guy. Yeah,
yeah, like, I have a Rookie of the Year ticket on Dotson. Yeah. When you miss five games, is that good for a Rookie of the Year
probably
ticket?
Probably not, but he is a hell of a player.
Yeah, he's good for sure.
All right, to the division of death we go. Raiders at Broncos.
I was told, my buddy Michael Montesano said, I was told this division was supposed to be good.
Greatest division we've ever seen, Gil.
The 2-7 Raiders, Josh McDaniels still employed as of this moment.
Haven't seen it come down yet.
At Denver, and Nathaniel Hackett still employed as of this moment.
Haven't seen it come down yet.
Both have made it nine games into their seasons. The 2-7 Raiders, the 3-6 Broncos. Derek Carr yesterday in defeat, 24 of 38 for 248, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Devontae, 9 catches for 126 and a touchdown. But again, the Raiders lollygagging on defense, chasing Matt Ryan, just jogging. Then that fourth down play to, you know, with a chance to win it. And you're just like, let me just throw this up in the air. I get it. It's Devontae. You saw single coverage. But it's Stephon Gilmore. No chance. The Broncos losing 5 of 6 now. We talked about their game against the Titans. They, again, Russell Wilson, can he elude a rush? Yes. Does he throw it up for grabs all the time now? Yes. He ended up 21 of 42 for 286, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked 6 times. 6. The Titans had nobody, none of their players on defense. They had a couple, but we talked about it earlier. They were missing 5 guys. Then they lost other guys in game. Still sacked Russell Wilson 6 times. Boy, what does this say about the Raiders if I say Denver -4.5? Ooh, what is it?
My numbers come to 2. Broncos 2.
Broncos don't even get the field goal?
I see a 3. I see a couple 3s out there with juice on the dog. I see 2.5 with juice on the favorite. I'm going to open 2.5.
All right.
I'm going to copy. Somebody said this, and I went and checked it out just to make sure. If Denver scored exactly 18 points in every game this year, they'd be 8-1.
So that, by the way, I'm assuming that's true without checking it.
It's true.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they'd be 8-1 with exactly 18 points.
And this is why they should be more than a field goal favorite, because that defense is clearly the best unit on that field. Now, am I excited about betting the Denver Broncos? Of course not, because I'll have to deal with Hackett and Wilson. But at 2, if it's below 3, what you're telling
me? I'm going to open 2.5. It'll be right at that counter right over.
Give me the Broncos.
We do have news this morning just coming down about 15 minutes ago from Ian Rappaport on Jerry Jeudy is getting an MRI on his ankle. Heading to end of the MRI, belief is he strained a muscle behind his ankle, source said. Couldn't put any pressure on it yesterday. Couldn't run routes. Testing will tell how long he's out.
Yeah, was that on Jeudy?
Jeudy, yeah. Someone tweeted, as a Gil, is that an Achilles? Because I'm the official Achilles doctor.
Everybody thought it was Achilles right away.
I didn't see it, so I couldn't respond, but glad that it's not. But I'll take the Broncos there.
Okay. And it'll be right there.
Be the worst experience of my life betting that team. What do we say with baseball games when Jason comes out? You are not required to watch this football game, even with a bet. Do you want to do one more here, Kelly?
Yeah, let's do one more, because right. I'm gonna save one for next segment.
All right.
Bengals at Steelers.
The Bengals at the Steelers. Bengals 5-4. They're off this week. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-6. You have any Mike Tomlin stats you want to share, Kelly, that we don't know about?
He has never finished under 500 as a head coach in the NFL.
You ever heard that before, Chrissy?
Repeat that so I can write it.
Never finished under 500, Chris.
Well, they get off the schneid with the win over the Saints. Kenny Pickett, 18 of 30 for 199, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 6 times. Yeah. 8 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown. They were +2 in turnovers. What do you think about your Steelers? Just still meh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got T.J. Watt back. And their record with T.J. Watt is unbelievable.
It's incredible.
But they lost Minka Fitzpatrick, too. Now, Minka was not having a very good year. He did not play up to his standards. But that's something you kind of can't ignore, how much T.J. Watt means. And, I watched a lot of that game. He dominates the play. I mean, it's incredible how an edge rusher can dominate like that. I mean, he is just such a key to that team. But, you know. Anyway, we'll get to the number. I'm not far off with my numbers, what's out there.
I'm going to say Cincinnati -4.5 on the road.
Okay, it's pretty much 5 everywhere. My numbers come to 5.5.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm going to open the 5. I'm not going to dicker with that half point.
Dicker.
But put that on the bingo card. I think 5's fine, but, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of problems with the Steelers. You know, I think Pickett looks okay. his offensive line, I think, could certainly give him a lot more help. Najee Harris actually played a pretty good game. I was thinking, what can I compare Najee to? I got it. I probably should love Shakespeare, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I should love Najee. I just don't. Yeah. I'm getting a little obscure there, but that's the way I feel.
Do you remember that feeling about Shakespeare? You're like, boy, I really would like to like this.
Yeah, looking at
this
stuff in high school. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. It's really just not striking a chord with me. Yeah,
the movies were way better.
Is there a game on the movies? The movies. Oh, those Shakespeare movies. They're so awesome. Yeah. I mean, do you feel like Kenny Pickett is your quarterback of the future?
Maybe. I think they certainly I'm not looking for another quarterback at this point. You know, I think they got to stick with him, try to get him some more weapons, certainly along that offensive line. I think the offensive line would protect him better, give him a better running game. But I think he has some weapons. I think I see some really good things out of him. I would not be looking for another quarterback right now were I the Steelers.
It's just occurring to me that the games I like, and we have more to get to, but the games that I like the best are the Jets and the Broncos.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You
are going to torture yourself on Sunday, aren't you?
Oh, this is going to be fun. Bets I hate. Well, let's see if there's anything else that comes up. We got a few more games to get to, including the primetime games, week 11 in the NFL. Trying to extract some value. It's Guessing Lines on a Numbers Game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VEASAN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VEASAN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Skill Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Kelly Bidlin, Guessing Lines for week 11 in the NFL. Hey, can I make my first anti-Elon Musk Twitter change comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why in our notifications do we no longer have the number of notifications and we only have a dot?
Because reportedly, Gil, because there's nobody who works there anymore, and they can't have the engineering's literally can't keep up with whatever all the functionality that needs to occur within the
app. Well, it's nice knowing you guys on Twitter. I'm sure you're both banned after this.
Oh, my God. Come on. Do better than a dot. We get tweets. Still, at least for today, we do. Tomorrow could be different.
Well, there's probably a Gil Alexander impersonation account out there.
Greg Parles. Oh, the man from which Jeff Parlay's loins sprung.
Oh, okay.
From which it's always Jeff such a great introduction.
Sprung from which his loins. Yeah, I messed that up. Craig Parlay, he says, when the Pizarcik play happened, talking about the Giants and the Eagles back in the day in the 70s, when the Pizarcik play happened, a kneel down by the quarterback didn't end the play. The play before the fumble, Pizarcik had intentionally fallen down to kill the clock and was drilled by the defender. Do you imagine that?
Those were the days.
In today's NFL, just somebody just going to town on you. Drilled by the defender, causing the Giants to call a handoff to Zonka the next play, and we all know how that ended. Thank you, Craig Parles. Dom's Pizzeria out here in Summerlin. Have you been to Dom's Pizzeria?
I think. Oh, is that what? This might be Dom's Pizzeria in Trafford.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You're right.
That's Dom's Pizzeria in Trafford.
Westmoreland County. You're right by the. Okay, I'm sorry. I got the wrong Dom's. Well,
how's Dom's in Summerlin?
I don't know. I assumed. You know what they say about assuming. Doing a great job on Guessing Lines always, guys. We always have you guys on our TVs over at Dom's Pizzeria.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, nice.
Sorry I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Mike Alvin.
Half-ass relative of mine. Seriously.
Yeah?
Yeah. I threw a bunch of marriages that some no longer exist.
Mike Alvarez. Uh-oh. The Raiders are lollygaggers. How the hell did we ever win two? And he is quoting Bull Durham here. You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. Let's see here. 401k Sports. He believes McDaniels will be fired the day after the Patriots game on December 18th. Davis knows that Mark Davis knows that Bill Belichick will put Josh on his staff to get the playbook. If he lets him go earlier, by that time Josh should be safe. But Davis is going. Is getting sick of having weekly meetings with him. So
I think he's worried about the playbook at this point in time against Patriots.
Mike Alvarez also adds, McDaniels and Hackett need to have a gentleman's bet. Loser this weekend resigns on Monday.
That's pretty good.
I mean, there's no way McDaniels makes it through. I don't even know how we've turned our attention away from Hackett. At least I have, because I expected Hackett to be fired like week four or something, and it didn't happen. But like McDaniels, I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen this week.
Let's just remember about Hackett, though. Hackett still, what's his, if right now, if you had to look back and you did the like one shining moment of Nathaniel Hackett's season, isn't the big moment when the home crowd chanted down the play clock? Like that says it all still. That's still the topic sentence of their season. A home crowd chanting down your offense's play clock because you guys can't get the snap off in time.
By the way,
is still the greatest thing
ever. I'm offering
ever.
$18 via Venmo for anybody who puts together a Nathaniel Hackett one shining moment throughout the season for me.
That'd be I was thinking his shining moment was carrying Aaron Rodgers' bags to the locker room, or from the locker room to the plane.
Well, let's get back to Kelly. You offered $18 American.
$18 American. I will Venmo it to you until as soon as I have it in my DMs or wherever.
The best one shining moment was still Felica's idea for Tankapalooza 2018 in the NBA. Like Devin Booker's non-injured hand.
One shining moment.
Rick Carlisle acting like he was angry about fouls being called on his team late in the game. Dirk Nowitzki and J.J. Barea walking off the court at crunch time. All right, what's next?
All right, we got to get to this one before my head explodes. 4:25 Eastern time Sunday, Cowboys at Vikings.
You must know something that I don't. This is a good game.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you know, Gil.
Oh, okay. Dallas, yesterday in defeat, again, up 14, and they blow it against the Packers. Dak, how do we feel about Dak? I keep saying this out loud.
Meh.
Middle of the road.
Yeah, man. 27 of 46 for 265, three touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked twice. Dak's record this season, straight up, 2-2. You know what Cooper Rush's record is this season? 4-1.
Oh, one of those is better.
But Jerry is going to go with Dak, and I'm not suggesting he should go with Cooper, but Jerry's got this thing where he, like, once he pays the contracts, he, like, just has to tell you that Zeke Elliott is better than Pollard no matter what. Pollard, 22 for 115 and a touchdown. Lamb, 11 for 150 and two touchdowns. Cowboys had 9 penalties for 83 yards. 0 points on their final 4 possessions. We went through it earlier. Outscored 17-0 by the Packers in the fourth quarter in overtime. And then there's the Vikings. We went through it. What a game. Game of the year against the Bills. That's 7 wins in a row now for the Vikings, all by one possession. Who are these guys? They trailed in the fourth quarter in 5 of those 7 games. Won them all. Minnesota rallied to win when trailing with 2.5 minutes or less remaining in regulation for the 5th time this season. And, of course, they overcame the 17-point third-quarter deficit yesterday. We talked about it. Cousins, 30 of 50 for 357 against the Bills. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, sacked 4 times. Dalvin Cook, 14 for 119 and a touchdown. Obviously, the big touchdown run late in the third being the biggest chunk of that. And Justin Jefferson, 10 catches for 193 and a touchdown. The NFL's first player to top 100 yards receiving 20 times in his first 3 seasons. And this just in, we ain't done with season 3. Not even close. Mm-hmm.
He's good at football.
They were +2 in turnovers. He's good at football, right. And that catch, again, yesterday, that catch...
One of the best catches I've ever seen.
Better than the Odell catch? That catch might be...
considering the situation. Yes. 4th and 18.
Considering the situation and the level of difficulty, too. Like, come on. There's never been a better catch than that, has there?
Also, I don't know how to, like, the Tyree catch, right? I don't really know how to... I don't want to say this with insulting it, but there's an aspect of luck in that, right?
Sure.
Justin Jefferson was all man getting up there, getting the ball coming down... Pitted against his body was one of the best catches I've ever seen.
Well, I didn't get a chance to say it, but we were watching the game 4 at that time, which is what the final would have been had he not made that catch. It's 4th and 18. At that. Terrible number for us when I went through all the numbers. 4 was a terrible number. And as soon as he throws the ball, I'm like, what the? Oh, great throw.
they don't get that. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. They only have 1 timeout under 2 minutes.
You know, but didn't happen.
Kelly must know something on this guest.
I'm about to fall out of my seat.
I got the Vikings -3.
That's why I saw it, too, Gil. That's how I saw it.
My numbers come to the Vikings 1.
Okay, a little
closer.
Less.
I could tell you right now, I could see this. It was 2 Cowboys, and it's now 1 Cowboys.
What?
Shop of opened up Cowboys 2.5 here in town, Gil. Yeah. 2.5.
What? Yeah.
It's all coming in. I mean, like I said, I'm going to open the Vikings 1. Might as well stay ahead of this because I can see there's a couple moves we'll have to go over before the end of the show.
Yeah,
but that's certainly one of them. You know, money showing on the – I mean, how are the Cowboys a favorite?
What are we doing here? I got as much money in as I could already, Gil. Let's go. Vikings heel game of the year.
I do not understand that at all.
By the way, you're asking me about Dak. QBR-wise, you know where he'd be in the number 17?
Number 17. Well, it's funny because I did that quarterback ranking thing last week, and I had Dak, because he'd only come back from here. He played one or two games, below that middle catch-all group that I had, so just below average. And people are like, what are you talking about?
I mean, median would be, 16.5,
exactly.
I guess. He's number 17.
Some people were up in arms about that. That's where I think he is.
That's where the QBR
is. How is Dallas is favored?
Favored!
If you had told me Minnesota 1.5 or 2, okay. But Dallas was how much of a favorite?
2.5.
Yeah.
2.5, multiple shops at 2 yesterday.
Listen, I get it. The Vikings do magnetize to a one-possession game no matter what. Could they lose and could they not cover? Sure. But should they be the dog at home against the Cowboys?
I mean, yeah, well, I don't know if money lines are out yet. Usually just point spreads.
You know, I grabbed a money line this morning, Chris, plus 110.
What'd you take?
Plus 110 on the Vikings.
Yeah. Anything with plus money, I think, would be worth a bet, yeah.
Now, let me just say this. We finally ran in, because these two teams are on bye, so we're not going to get to the Seahawks and the Bucks. But we finally ran into a guess on this show that didn't come through. So 5 weeks in a row of you know, exploiting bad Seahawks lines and conversely bad Bucks lines to the opposite. And then we finally ran into them against each other, and it didn't work out. Okay, it finally happened.
Sure.
That doesn't mean we're not sticking to our guns on these convictions.
Take my money, Books. Take my money. Tell me I'm wrong.
Here, take it.
It's fine. Money. Tell me how the Vikings have only won these close games all year. They're not as good as they are, and they keep winning, Gil. They keep winning, and I'm going to keep betting them.
Wow. That's an interesting line. I knew we'd run into one, and so that's why you were so excited, because you knew what my guess was.
I had the same thing you did.
Yeah.
I'm like, Vikings 3, easy.
Easy. What?
Geez, I thought I made the Vikings 1. I was like, boy, I think I'd play the Vikings at that price.
Oh, man. No, that's interesting.
Power rating's a place to start. Just, you know, don't get married to the power rating.
Primetime games on the other side. We'll wrap it up. Guessing lines on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. Gamblers. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, the market respected our outrage over that line so much that it went opposite on us.
Went the other way. Cowboys took money.
Cowboys took money.
I want to know what would a Buccaneers Vikings line be? Like Bucks 7? Is that like that? That's,
is that
you know
how the
mean?
Market loves it, right? Bucks by 3 touchdowns? We get tweets. By the way, see, the Jets did come my way, though?
Yeah. That's not, yeah.
So apparently,
halves are gone.
According to Primetime, who tweeted in, he said that our friend Adam Chernoff, he released Vikings plus 2, so it did come down to 1, but then it's ticked back the other way, back up to Cowboys.
He's on our side, though.
Yeah. I'm with you this week, Chernoff. Heads up last week.
We're together. We get tweets at Beating the Book, at Crane Pool, Shakespeare, Beverly Bubble Sills, and a Doug Williams reference. Nothing better than a Monday morning with Chrissy, Gil, and Kelly. Guessing lines. Can't wait for the actor studio with Jimmy Vaccaro. Jim Lipton with Jimmy Vaccaro. James Lipton. May rest in peace, James Lipton. How funny would that be?
Oh, my God.
What is your favorite curse word? Jimmy would just, hey, kid, I don't know.
I wanted James and Jimmy both do it's the co-interview of somebody else.
Oh,
questions would just be wildly
Jimmy
different.
Jimmy pile it on. This is from I Have No Blue Check Mark. See, it's already starting on Twitter. He said Chernoff just released Mini plus two as a pick. Oh. Rick Pack. The Jefferson catch was Odell plus Tyree plus Edelman. How that did not touch the ground, I will never know. Yeah, Primetime says the same thing about the about Chernoff releasing it. But, yeah, the market didn't respect any of us. That's interesting. All right, Primetime, what do we got?
Sunday night, Chiefs at Chargers.
Chiefs, 7-2. Chargers, 5-4 after their loss last night. Chargers had nobody. But they had a lead at the half. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs win yesterday. Patrick Mahomes, 26 of 35 against the Jaguars for 331, four touchdowns, one pick. He was not sacked. He is your MVP short shot. Once again, the great Patrick Mahomes. 486 total yards for the Chiefs, and they were minus three in turnovers. Still beat the Jags by 10. Jags become the first team in 5 years to recover an onside kick to open the game, but their offense squandered the opportunity and more. They punted five times, missed a field goal on their first six possessions. The middle of this game, though, you thought for a second the Jags might come back. They went 62 yards and 35 seconds to cut it to 20-7 towards the end of the first half. Then Jody Fortson of the Chiefs fumbled the ensuing kickoff, and Riley Patterson had a 41-yarder to cut the lead to 20-10, and he missed it. Jags down 20-7. They had a 4th-and-2 at the Kansas City 40, 11 minutes left in the third quarter. Opening drive of the half, Lawrence Zay Jones for 8. 9 plays later, Patterson 35-yard field goal to make it 20-10. They also converted a 4th down that led them to cutting the Chiefs' lead to 27-17 later, but with 5:30 left, they never saw the ball again. Chiefs win. Chiefs, could they be the number one power rank team now? And then there's the Chargers. We talked about this game last night. We didn't yet. The Chargers, we sort of briefly touched on it earlier on the show. The Niners pitched a second-half shutout on the Chargers yesterday. San Francisco fell behind by 10 points in the second quarter, and then after scoring a touchdown on their opening possession, the Chargers managed just 3 field goals the rest of the way. 2 on drives that started in Niners territory. That was it. That was the rest of their offensive output. Justin Herbert just looking for just teammates to throw the ball to. 21 of 35 for 196, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. The Chargers only had 12 first downs in this game and only had 238 total yards, only 51 of which were rushing. They only had the ball for 23 minutes and a second. Here it was, the end of the game is worth bringing up, though. I was talking about how earlier on the show I had a in-game first half bet on the Chargers minus 3.5, and how they were up 7. They were about to go up 14, first and goal at the 2. They had to settle for a field goal. Then the Niners scored, the Chargers were only up 3, and then so I needed a field goal late. Herbert gets hit in the head. Dre Greenlaw gets ejected. Chase Daniel comes in, and Brandon Staley is like, just throw the ball around the yard, Chase Daniel. I was like, oh, I'm going to kill you. Just run the ball. Thankfully, it got there. But late in the game, down 19-16, the Chargers, they forced a punt. Mitch Wisnowski of the Niners punts ruled downed at the 1, but it shouldn't have been because Samuel Womack just kind of casually backpedaled with baby steps into the end zone. But they gave him the ball at the 1 or the inches, an inch away from the goal line. 4 and out for the Chargers. The Chargers had all 3 timeouts left, though, still. It set up this really weird situation where the Niners got it 1st and goal at the 8. They got 6 yards from Mitchell, timeout. 1 yard from Mitchell, timeout. Then Mitchell lost a yard, Elijah Mitchell, that is, 3rd timeout. So 4th and goal, the 2, with 101 left, the Niners decided to kick a field goal. Robbie Gould from 20 to make it 22-16, which was interesting because Mike Tirico got it for the gambling aspect. He was like, oh, a lot of people want the Niners to score, sure. Chris.
Yeah.
But they didn't get the touchdown. They only got the field goal, so they don't cover. And the Chargers ended the game 53 seconds left. First play, Justin Herbert picked by Talanoa Ufanga to end that game on the final drive. Chiefs will be favored, I said, by 4. But it's really hard to know, getting back to our pro tip, check the injury reports. Who's playing for the Chargers? That's going to determine this. But I'll say Chiefs minus 4 as a placeholder for Sunday.
Oh, it's 7 everywhere. My numbers come to 8. And, I needed the Chargers last night. I'm in a couple contests, and I had the Chargers as a high pick. So I liked them last night, and, they covered, obviously. But, man, those injuries are really stacking up.
If those injuries are still there, I can see why that's the number.
I mean, it's 7 pretty much everywhere. Yeah. Like I said, my power ranks come to 8. Even though the Chargers, played well, covered last night, I had to lower them on my power ranks just because of the number of injuries. I'm going to open 7. I think that's okay. But, I wouldn't mind if – I wouldn't be surprised if this ticks up a little higher.
If there's still no Allen and there's still no Williams, right? It's difficult.
Bosa's still out for them too, right?
Bosa's still out. If you take away Eckler playing on defense, then what do you got? Let's go to Monday night.
Monday night, 49ers at Cardinals.
You know, No. That's at Mexico.
Oh.
Mexico City.
Oh, yes.
Mexico City.
Yeah.
Still Monday night, right?
Kelly, you know you got something on your head? You know you got something on your head right now?
Oh, yeah. It's built there now, Gil. It's just built there.
Niners and the Cardinals in Mexico City. Jimmy G in victory against the Chargers, 19 of 28 for 240. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, but the Niners' defense was really the stars of that game for the Niners. And then Arizona, we talked about, they beat the Rams, so they go to 4-6. Colt McCoy was your quarterback yesterday, 26 of 37 for 238, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. DeAndre Hopkins, 10 catches for 98. Rondale Moore, 9 catches for 94. They were +2 in turnovers, the Cardinals were, in that game against the Rams. 10 for 67 in penalties. By the way, you were talking about the records of certain players. DeAndre Hopkins, when he's in the lineup for the Cardinals, 10-4.
He's amazing.
Since the start of last season, the Cardinals are. Only say a couple notes here. A couple big fourth down conversions. It was a 3-3 game, 4th-and-1 at the Rams 6. With 2:37 left in the half, McCoy rushed it for 2 yards. Next play, Connor scored from 4 out to make it 10-3, and then up 17-10, 4th-and-3 at the Rams 41 with 8:45 left. McCoy to Rondale Moore for 26. That was a sensational one-handed catch, too. 2 plays later, Connor in from 9 out, 24-10. Katie barred the door. Neutral site? Well, neutral site, huh? I said 5.5, but maybe it's higher than that. I'll stick with 5.5.
It's 7 or 7.5.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
That's another one. Even though Arizona, I thought, played really well yesterday, covered and won and covered, still a lot of injuries for that team. My power ratings come to 6, but I think I kind of like the 7 a little better. By the way, these are the two teams that I give zero for home field advantage.
Yeah.
So playing on the road for either one of them means nothing to me. I wouldn't change my number at all. But I see 7 and 7.5. I'm going to open 7. Like I said, my power ratings come to 6. Still don't know about Murray. And I think this Niner team is getting better. You know, they had some guys come back from injuries. And, you know, I think their running game is just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, so I'm going to open 7.
One last thing about that game. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Zach Ertz expected to miss multiple weeks with a knee injury. He also adds, Schefter does, that the team suspects that Ertz's ACL is intact, a full MRI coming today. Which brings us, by the way, so the games I like the best are the Jets, the Broncos, and the Vikings, which brings us to our pro tip of the hour. Kelly, would you like to read this one?
Just bet the Vikings!
Would you like to show Kelly?
Don't overthink it! Just bet the Vikings!
Show Kelly, please, if we could on camera. This will just bring it home. There you
just
go.
Just bet the Vikings!
That's your pro tip of the
hour.
That's
not the pro tip. We got another one.
Oh, there's another one. There's a real one.
There's a real one.
Real pro tip is, no matter the situation, make sure you truly value how much a quarterback change should mean to your numbers. For example, Matt Ryan, Josh Allen, John Wolford. Really basics, but keep it all in mind. Means everything. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on Visa across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for Visa Pro subscribers only at Visa.com, where you could sort them by sport and by show. Apologies for the allergies this morning. We'll get over that. Feel great, though. For Chris Andrews, for Kelly Bidlin, let's make some money. Week 11. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
A
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.